Let's talk about sex, baby. But before we get into it, tell me, spit or swallow? Hi, welcome back to another episode of Spit or Swallow with your favorite host, House of Chocolate. Yay! Today is a special day as per usual. Oh my God, I've stopped thanking you guys. Oops. Thanks for listening, for sharing, for liking, subscribing, for posting to your stories, posting your church group chat, family group chat, for the TikToks, for everything. For those of you using the Reels to do, I remember, I see you. We love our ministry moving. But yes, welcome back to another episode. Today is a special day as per usual. And with me in the studio, I have a very special guest, Tolu. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to Spit or Swallow. So before we get into it, spit or swallow?
Spit.
That was really fast. Why spit?
So, it was fast because I listened to the podcast and I was like, yes, it's my turn.
she came ready. I love that.
Spit because, I don't know, cum taste weird. Mm. So, yeah, spit.
Mm. I mean, valid. The consistency is kind of interesting. Actually, is there anything that tastes exactly like cum in, like feels exactly like cum in life?
Glue.
To be fair, I haven't put glue in my mouth.
Like you know those, the glue sticks?
The sticks.
The roller balls?
Mm-hmm. Those ones? Yeah. Those white ones that we used to put on our hands and stuff. But yeah, no, I mean, I know those ones, but those ones are more like, do you remember Bonjela? I don't know if you ever knew. It was a gum thing. Those ones are more like Bonjela, but like glue, like cum itself. Nutri-Milk? Really?
No, don't ruin Nutri-Milk for me.
No, because I feel like even pap is not even like pap.
No, it's like,
I get what you mean about glue. It's like thick glue, but then it's tangy as well. And then, but you know that annoying thing too that happens, like when water touches cum and then it now coagulates. It's just like very, your hand now is like, get off me.
Yes, very bad user experience.
I mean, fair. I feel like that's why it's just meant to either be inside the body or inside a condom. It's not really something that you should be play. And then, I mean, to be fair, they die within minutes and seconds of being outside of the body. So they're really not supposed to be not in moist environments. So fair enough. So how is your sex life?
Good.
Tell me about that.
Okay. So I don't know, how do you say, like, we married, we happy. It's good.
Tell me about being married and, you know, your journey. How did you want to meet your partner? How did you decide, oh yeah, this is the one? And, you know, what are your sexual profiles? Like, how was your sexual personality taken into account before you guys got married? How long are you married, by the way?
5 years.
Ooh, that's amazing. Do you have kids?
No.
No. Love that. Love it so much. Okay.
So we went to secondary school together. Mm-hmm. We're not friends. Mm-hmm. And then this is how you know how old I am. Yeah. We started talking on Facebook. We started talking on Facebook when we were in uni. Okay. And we just went from there. It was supposed to be like, you know, just like friends with benefits. Mm-hmm. But
and then you caught
feelings. Tricked me.
He tricked you? How so? Tell me about that.
So from the start, he was always like very open about like what he wanted. Like he wanted the relationship. I was baby girling, so
living your best life.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did not want that. But then, like, you know, like you talk to somebody and you realize, okay, I'm looking forward to seeing this person, talking to this person.
When you see yourself falling in that calabash.
Yes.
You're just like, why am I twirling my hair while I'm on the phone with them?
Yes. And then people were like, oh, Tolu, you used to be like a hard guy. But it's like, you're getting soft. Do you get? So, yeah, that's it. Like, and I don't know. I feel like we're good. He makes me, like, calmer. Mm. And I make him more.
You bring out yes.
Yeah, you know how they say balance. You know how they say like every attract. Gentle guy mm-hmm. needs a girl who will tell the waiter that my order is not correct. Like that.
It's very interesting. I do find that you have a lot of men who are like introverts. Recently someone asked me if I could draw a parallel between all my ex guys. What would it be? And introverted was actually the first thing that came out, but not all like calm, quiet. Mm-hmm. Like the ones who I like introverts who more like ambiverts. Yeah, but like introverted introverted exterior, but under certain conditions mm-hmm. or when they are comfortable, they're also people who mm-hmm. can like mm-hmm. I don't want like timid.
Yes,
but yeah, I guess that balancing thing works. But I also want someone who can turn up. Like I don't always want to be the one talking to Rita. I want to be like, you know, yo, handle business, daddy, type stuff. But yeah, I find that you find a lot of people are attracted to calmer guys, are attracted mm-hmm. to more, you know, I think that they feel like it makes their own life spicier as well.
Yeah.
It's a good balance. That's good. So we're going to dive into like your sexuality and his and how you have navigated that in Nigeria, and you know, as you mentioned, you moved to Canada. So how has it been different? And you know, just how you guys have navigated that in your relationship? Did you always start out knowing that this was the path your sexuality was taking? Mm-hmm. And did you take his into account? And how has it evolved over time?
Okay. So thank you for that question. I feel like I started out identifying as like bicurious because I used to think that to have like an identity that's not straight,
yeah,
you kind of have to have had experience.
Mm.
But that's like, it's like a false dichotomy, because like nobody ever asks like straight people like,
how do you know you're straight?
How do you know you're straight? It's just taken as default.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to a non-default sexuality, everybody's like, but how do you know?
Yeah, have you tried this?
Have you tried? Like yes. Yeah. Have you ever been with?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even nuns, nobody has ever asked a nun, like, how do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just taken for granted. Like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
So, I had, when I was turning 30, mm-hmm. I did, like, a review of my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, really, you can't continue to identify, like, sit on the fence as far as, like, I've always known,
mm-hmm.
like, from, like, when I knew what, like, attraction was.
Yeah.
I've always known, like, I'm attracted to everybody.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So, I've always known. I've never, like, had, like, an existential crisis around that.
Yeah.
It's always just been, like,
labels and what labels mean. When you name it, it mm-hmm. becomes a whole identity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So right now I identify as queer,
mm-hmm.
Just because I feel like that's like the best mm-hmm. umbrella term.
Yeah, it's not mm-hmm. boxing.
Yes.
In any way.
Okay. Yes.
Because I was going to say, would you say bisexual? Would you say pansexual? Would you just say, you know, just?
I like the bisexual flag.
Mm-hmm.
So
not the flag.
So like, if I had to choose. Yes, but generally I just say I'm queer.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah, go ahead.
Yes, so my husband and I started as friends.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's never been something I felt like I should hide,
yeah,
or like be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
So he is always known.
Yeah.
And then when I had my come to Jesus moment,
yeah,
I was just like, oh, actually, I think I want to
explore,
change. Well, okay, so like we had like a conversation about like, mm-hmm. do you want to explore, don't you want to explore, and I was like, at this time I don't think,
yeah, you don't think you need to,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
especially just because like
you're just accepted,
yeah,
that it wasn't a curiosity, yes. it was more of an identity,
yes,
so it was more of, okay, I'm reclaiming the name, but that's as far as I'm ready to go right now.
Mm-hmm. So I like that he's like really open to like having those conversations with me. Yeah. Again, he's like a very calm person.
Yeah.
So me, I'm bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
And like waking him up at 2 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, I just thought about something. So yeah, but it hasn't been. Does he say like, does he get jealous of like me with people? No, but he, like, he just you know how when you see like a fine girl pass.
Yeah.
Like we both go like,
both like that. Yeah. And then you both look at each other like, so you're checking out her ass.
So yeah, so I've always been very, I'm not a jealous person,
mm-hmm.
which I think a lot of people think is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because people feel like relationships have to have like a possessiveness, yeah. yes, mm-hmm. Tied to it. I've never been that sort of person.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you experience people,
mm-hmm.
You decide to be with them or yeah. not be with them. It's not somebody you don't own anybody. Yeah, yes.
You don't own them.
So, that idea that, oh, because I'm with this person, I can't do this, I can't yeah. do this. I just feel like conversations are necessary. They mm-hmm. need to be had.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I'm just like very chill.
Mm-hmm.
With like, and I feel like that has rubbed off on him a little because he's yeah. a little more jealous than I am.
Yeah.
But when people try to make me jealous, not like make me jealous, but just be like, oh, this thing is happening. Why aren't you jealous?
Mm-hmm.
And I try to explain my
rationale. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, you just experience people. They come into your life. They come out of your life. You have things that happen together. Sometimes they have to leave. Sometimes they stay. But mm-hmm. that's just it.
Yeah.
Nobody owns anybody.
Yeah, for sure. No. I mean, I feel like a lot of people who are polyamorous definitely have the same ideology or alternative or mm-hmm. other relationship styles. Mm-hmm. And I mean, monogamy is a man-made concept, and it's yes. something that I feel like is in almost every episode, especially when you're talking about sex and sexuality, we always end up talking about it because, you know, it's something that people struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, opening things is not easy as well,
yes.
you know, and then a lot of things are also easier in the abstracts. But yes. when you're in the thick of it, it's also like different. So I was going to say, if he said, oh, by the way, I feel like I want to also explore some mm-hmm. parts of my sexuality outside of you, how would you take it?
I'd be fine with it.
So if he if yeah. he wanted like other partners?
Yes.
Physically?
Yes. Because again, I'm very big on talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's all those years of school. Yeah. So I'm very big on like talking through things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are you looking for in this?
Yeah.
What is it that, is it coming from a place of want? Is it coming from a place of, oh, there's something lacking?
Yeah.
Is it because like you're looking for experience or like to just like experience other people, experience like other things? Or is it just like, what exactly are you looking to get from this?
Yeah.
And what does it mean for like the structure
mm-hmm.
of what is here?
Existing right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I feel like my thoughts on like ethical non-monogamy and like polyamory.
Yeah.
Are kind of like evolving.
Yeah.
So I'd be fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'd like want to know who.
I mean, fair enough, Sha. Fair enough.
Like, the person has to be fine now. Like,
I mean,
also people be crazy.
Yeah, for sure. But like, I feel like if someone said, to be honest, actually, I would actually want to know. I would want to know everything, but I don't want to know them. Like, you know, some people want to do kumbaya. Mm-hmm, let's bring. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I'll stop the two of you. I'm sorry. Go do your shit over there. Give me the details when I ask. But you know. I guess it's also relative to there's some people where I'm like, okay, and some I'm just like, no, I don't want to hear that nonsense. I don't want to hear. Sit down and sit your ass down. What are you looking for outside? but yeah, no, but to be fair, I've said that a lot as well. On a physical level, I'm not so is that emotional on me? I don't like to share. I'm not an emotional, like if I'm like borderline obsessed with you, except I know you're borderline obsessed. Like, I like her, okay, cool. But once be like, oh, I love you, I love I told you get out.
No, but obsession is not a limited resource.
For me, it is. I have main character syndrome. Like, that's why I said you can be obsessed and you can say, oh, yeah, I have some feelings. Like, I have some feelings, but it's like, what's not my own number? Exactly. My own is 99% and she's like 28. And go there. Enjoy.
Understand.
But like, if you're like, oh, 50, I'm 50, no. And the thing is, but that's just me. And it's not like saying something's wrong with that person. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, we do have, it's the same way a lot of people have many best friends and they sustain, but obviously based on jealousy, someone say, oh, this is my guy or this is my sister, yeah, but this one is my own best friend. So when you know, you may even have deeper feelings, and obviously just navigating like relationships. But I do believe that human hearts are very expansive and you can love many people. It's just how you show up, because we expect romantic love to be very be all and end all. Yeah, my this, yeah, my best, yeah, my, you pay the bills, you do this, you do that and stuff. So I guess once again, obviously, it also goes to back to like designing how the relationship would work best for you. So since the you know, deciding to be like, okay, yes, I'm openly queer, what do you feel like has changed in, you know, the marriage or like the relationship, you know, aside of both of you checking each other out? Like, what were the conversations like? And how would you say it has evolved? And do you think for you as a person, you have felt more comfortable in owning that identity? What would you say has changed for you?
Okay, yes. So I do think as a person, I feel more comfortable in owning that. Just because, okay, so like at the time when I was like, okay, owning my identity, I was more, so I'm more like a thoughts person. Mm-hmm. I'm not really an action person. Yeah, so, but it's one thing to just say, okay, yeah, I'm thinking thoughts, but then also, what are you going to do with those thoughts?
Yeah.
So, I was more intentional with like making queer friends, and trying to be in more queer spaces, just because it's really hard to live in a vacuum, especially in Nigeria, where you can't like wear like your pride flag and just be like on the streets like, yeah, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, yes, you can, but it comes with, so it comes with like various considerations, and I feel like it's a little easier to handle that if you have like people who understand what you're going through, what's going through your head, having those conversations with your friends. So I was more intentional about making queer friends in Nigeria. Actually wasn't looking at like what kind of identities that they had, just more like,
well, you're queer,
do we align as people apart from, you know, that? But also, like, that being, like, a consideration as well. Also, I was, or I am more open about talking about it, as evidenced by me being here. I'm more open, about, like, to talking about it. Just, again, I'm a thinking, talking person. So just like making more friends, having more conversations, just like showing up, not just being like internal, also showing up externally as that person. For the relationship, like the like my marriage, what it's done is, again, it's led to more conversations about that. And it also has to do with defining. Because, again, things are changing, even though they've been like that, but they're still changing. So it also has to do with, like, defining, like, the relationship. Okay, yeah, so this is what we are, but what exactly does that mean? So, like, just, like, defining the relationship, having those conversations. Do you want to do this? Okay, let's come back to it. You know, things like that.
Yeah, so how's that been? I mean, that's fantastic, obviously, that you definitely have the self-awareness to be, like, oh, I'm owning my journey and I'm taking a proactive step into, you know, cultivating the friendships, being in the space where I can, you know, be who I am. But how's it been? How, what's the difference in navigating your queerness in Nigeria and then now that you live in Canada? How is it different? Because, you know, obviously, yeah, in Nigeria, it comes with this, they're the downsides of things. You can't just be there, you know, waving your flag and all of that stuff. You're less likely to be stressed. You can be who you are in Canada, but then have you been able to cultivate the same, you know, spaces over there? What would you say, like, are the advantages of being there versus here and, you know, vice versa?
So I don't think I've been able to cultivate the same spaces in Canada, just because apart from the sexual identity, there's also the cultural identity. So if you are tilting towards like the cultural identity, then you're going to be like hanging with Nigerians.
Yeah.
Where you then run into the same Nigerian problem.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Then also if you're going towards like the queer identity,
mm-hmm.
Then you have to choose like, okay, am I doing black people
or Asian,
like yeah, or like
Hispanic,
yeah,
or white,
like
people.
Canadian people, like Canadian born people. Yeah. You know, so like there's that. So I feel like when it comes to that, I'm kind of still finding myself.
Yeah.
Still trying to find my own community, mm-hmm. and everything. So I do have a Nigerian community, but it's not a Nigerian queer community.
Yeah, it's just
a Nigerian, Nigerian community.
Yeah.
I've made friends.
Mm-hmm.
I went on Bumble BFF and like I was like,
oh, I didn't know there was a Bumble BFF.
Oh, there's Bumble BFF and it's like really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure how well it works here.
Do people even use Bumble BFF in Nigeria? Likely. I mean, possibly. Me, I'm just not. I use Instagram for everything. I think it's the best, like, dating app, in quotes, because it's easier to vet people, mm-hmm. friends of friends, even when making friends. Like, it's like an extension of the real world, I think, at least for me. And so, and I'm a very safety conscious person, especially in Nigeria.
Yes.
So I wouldn't just like, then someone just says, oh, hey, da, da, like, well, what if you're catfishing me? What if you want to harvest my organs and stuff, you know? But that's great though. I think someone actually had mentioned it when I was in London,
yes.
and they told me they met someone, a friend of Bumble as well, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really nice because community is very, very important.
Very, very.
And I feel that a lot of people try to downplay that importance just so that you don't seem needy.
Mm-hmm.
You want to seem self-sufficient. You want to seem like you don't need anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And vulnerability and putting yourself out there,
mm-hmm.
it's like you're just like, oh, here's my heart. Mm-hmm. Stomp on it.
Yeah.
Even in friendship.
Of course.
And a lot of people don't want to do that because you're going to kiss some frogs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't want to do that. I'm always open to like
make
friends. You're
going to kiss many frogs.
Yes, most of them are going to be frogs.
Kiss many frogs. Yeah. And it's funny because I was responding to someone's message tweet yesterday. They were speaking about, oh, you don't know how hard people always complain about how, you know, being in your 30s, how hard it is to make friends, mm-hmm. and do this and do that, and they were also giving advice like, oh, show up. You have to actually work on them, like your relationships and all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, like it's so funny how you see so many people say, oh, I only have two friends. I only have two friends. I only have one friend. I can't relate to that. I've never been able to relate to that. Part of this is me. It's never been hard for me to make friends. I'm also someone who people always try to be friends with. And so there's some people who have entered my life and just not left and they've been friends. And like, I also value like natural.
Yes.
You know, if I meet somebody, we vibe and stuff. And, you know, I've also had friends who have had issues with you where it's just like, who is this one again? Halima has come again. Halima can be guest close people first. I'm like, if I feel a soul connection, you know, it's like you said, people, you experience people. And sometimes, you know, we also have a very, well, let me not say mild, but we have, sometimes you can be obsessed with forever. Oh, my forever person, 10 years. You want to drag somebody for, you know, 1 million years to say, oh, 20 years of friendship. But if you take about those 20 years, how much substance can you get out of that? Aside the, oh, yes, this person has seen me through the, like, yes, some people have grown together, they've evolved, they have blood for life. And some, they've really fallen off. Like, you know, you guys have grown apart, but you're flogging. And, you know, it's okay to even keep, you know, those people, but it's like, open yourself up to newer people as well. I don't care if you're 30, you can be 48 and meet somebody and it's like, oh, wow, I've known, if you can meet a person. And it's like, it's funny how people are open to partners.
Yes.
You break up, you meet somebody, oh my God, it's like, I've known you all my life. Why can't you do that with a friend as well, you know? So you're right in that people also have to put themselves out there. And facts, because a lot of times people also have that downside of like, oh, they've chopped friendship breakfast, they have trust issues, you know, understandable. But I think that, you know, at the other side of the fear and vulnerability is like actual deep connections. And even if you experience it just for a short period, I think it's worth it.
And I think like a lot of people are willing to step out on that ledge when it comes to like romantic relationships, but not necessarily like friendships.
Yeah.
Especially like with women,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it's a romantic relationship and they do something to you, you're like, oh, looking at the bigger picture, you know, we're in this committed relationship. But people don't look at friendship like that sometimes.
Yeah, they don't.
They just look at it like, oh, yeah, a friend. But I have multiple best friends. Because my friends are so important to me. I will always shoot friendship shots. I will talk to you. I will go out on dates, like, because again, people don't understand, like, you have to invest in friendship.
You definitely do.
So I'm sorry, I feel like I'm just going like
no please feel free to express yourself as much as you want. Sorry, whatever.
No, please carry on.
No, yeah, but you're definitely right. So yeah, we're talking about living in Canada. What is that like? Regards your relationship and, you know, just navigating that difference. What do you miss about Nigeria, and what would you say is better being in Canada?
So first, Canada is cold. Don't come. Absolutely hate the cold. Like, your brain is slow. It's like mush. Anyway, so what I miss about being in Nigeria is having my friends here, having my community here.
Yeah.
Like, it's really easy to, when I'm here, just be like, oh, I'm having a bad day, or I want to talk about something, and you guys just, like, hop on a call, or you go over to, like, the house, or whatever. It's a little harder with, like, long distance and everything. So you kind of have to rely more. If you're in a relationship, like, rely more on, like,
your partner to do all that stuff.
Yes. Which, to be fair, can put a bit of a strain on it. Because you're dealing with moving to a new environment, learning the mores, and then figuring out who you are in that environment, both individually as a couple. And then you also then have to have that person be your soul community. Yeah. So, but luckily I had a couple of friends move at the same time as I did. So yay. And also, like, I made some friends. I've gone to Pride.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that. If you
oh, that was so good! I cried, like, the first time. I was like, oh my god! Like, I was just there, and it feels so good to just look around, and everybody here
is like you.
Yes, like, I was supposed to go with people, but because I wasn't, like, really familiar with, like, the area. I got there late. So I was alone. But everybody was, like, so nice. I was trying to see, like, the front of the parade, and people just, like, folded me into their group. It was so good.
Very welcome. Very at home.
It was just, like, a hug. Like, a group hug. Literally was boiling my eyes out.
I mean I can actually imagine, because I was definitely going to ask you if you've attended Pride, because there you do have more access to those spaces on a larger scale. It might not be your microcosm or your tiny community, but, you know, there's more expression, and there's more freedom of expression. And I guess that's one thing that, you know, I mean, first day there's Pride in Nigeria, Omo, that would be that's what they say, Olokpa Mako, everybody. Like, it would be like, it's just, I don't know, is that going to happen in my lifetime? Well, very possible, Sha, but
because there have been, like, Pride events, even if it's not like a huge,
they won't tag, they won't tag them. No, I mean, I know that, you know, queer spaces, they do, stick together in certain ways, and they try to cultivate community and stuff. You know, safety is a huge thing as well, because it's, illegal. But at the same time, I feel like it's two sides of the coin, because you have a lot of people who are in these top spaces who are also really queer. So it's like, you can threaten it and you can put that seeming veil of, like, no, this is not allowed. But you know that you're all lying and you're all pretending. And it's like, your ancestors were doing all of this stuff. And just let people live their fucking lives. You get, like, why are we so obsessed with, this is supposed to be normal? It's like, yeah, normal becomes normal when it is repeated, and people just, you know, on a large scale. And unfortunately for us as human beings, we're easily impressionable.
Yes.
It's so crazy. We are very herdy, do you guess? It's very like, alpha pack, follow. Yeah. And it's so, sometimes it's really baffling and scared and sad because you can have thousands of people just repeating the same programming. Mm-hmm. And it's like, do you ever question, you know, what you've been hearing? You just, oh, let me do this, let me do that, let me do this. And you know, when you start to awaken and become more conscious of just how systems work and like, you know, being someone who wants to break it. I mean, you can break it in certain ways, but in many ways, we're also really still, you know, plugged into the system. But you also become more empathetic. You become less judgmental because when you think about how we're really just souls experiencing the world, you know, before there'll be a time where if someone says, oh, they dropped out of school, you would judge them like, oh, this one, are you useless, da, da, da. Now, one thing I love about, you know, our generation is people say, oh, I'm a podcaster, I'm a creative, I'm a sound engineer, I'm this, I'm that. Nobody cares. As long as the bank is doing, oh, I'm doing tech, I'm doing this. That whole banker, lawyer, da, 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 da. And so sometimes it's wild how human beings, they're just tags or random things that people create that we carry on our head
They form like your entire identity.
Identity around that. And you feel like that's the most important thing. When it's like, like if someone is even saying, you know what, I'm going to live in the bush. I'm just going to be, I'll be hunting, killing animals, roasting them, eating mango and stuff. It's okay. Like, you know, who are we to say what somebody else should be doing? Yes. They're just living their life. Like at the end of the day, even us that are still here forming activity in some way, it's because there have been some structures that have been made. They're not necessarily working for everybody. Everybody talk about how they hate capitalism. They're tired. They're this, they're that. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're also a man of like, purpose and like we like activity, we're going to form activity one way or another, you know. It's just finding what works best, I guess, and being able to show up in the way. And I think that that's why I always say, like, even before I say any of this, it's like life is already hard, you shouldn't be making it harder for anyone, you know. So if someone says, yo, this is how I feel, this is what makes me comfortable, this is how I want to show up in the world, please, by all means, you know, just take it away. So yeah, that's not me catching you. Drink up, drink up. One.
Also, I wanted to say something about like the effect and the impact of like religion on like what Nigerians think is normal.
Of course.
And also how a lot of people need to examine what they think is standard and what they think is culture and what they think is generations old, where people say it's always been like
this. It has not always been like this, for sure.
It's not always been like this. They've always been queer people. And the reactions to queer people have not always been what they are. I feel like we also need to examine the effect of the American Christianity movement and like the money that gets funded into Africa, like in terms of like abortion, sexuality, all of that. Because it's like, okay, the Africa, the last frontier, you know, it's colonialism under like a different guise. It's still the same. Oh, we're going to save the poor, misguided Africans. And then you see like a lot of people. So, okay, I didn't take my husband's last name. And you see a lot of people saying, oh, it's not our culture.
It's not like, what culture is that one?
And you're like, we didn't even have surnames. Like, we didn't have surnames. Everybody used to be somebody, daughter of, son of, oh, somebody's occupation, you know, like it was, oh, XYZ person, the Mila, do you understand? Like, it was never, oh, Mrs. somebody. But then, like, the white people came and told you that, oh, no, it's civilized to do certain things. And now
it's uncivilized to be naked, to not wear clothes. They really, that's what that pains me the most, honestly. That's changing the ideology around nudity. And you know, I will still always go back to and it's so funny because the North and Arewa people was are the ones that for me most covered, most modest. It's like, yo, go and ask your real grandma. Like, they used to walk around topless, literally topless. They didn't cover heads. Their boobs were out, wear their tiny scarves. When they got married, they would wear like Hausa covering of hair was more of those scarves that are halfway. It was not about your hair is bad. And even with the whole covering hair thing, I'm just like, imagine the Lord that created me. You created the hair out of my head. Then you're now telling me I should hide it because of the male gaze, you know? So every single time, it will always be like, unfortunately, like most of the attitudes around sex, you can pick them from religion, you know, the shame, the purity culture.
Purity
the,
culture is
just not, it is not being able to talk about having a conversation about, like, sex education ideally should even start from your home.
Yes.
You know, not people getting married and learning about, you can't even, like, people are even ashamed to be like, oh, but it's like, nah, that's a natural thing that is going to happen, that it's going to do, that you probably might have even been doing before. And isn't it better to have a safe space in your family where if shit hits the fan, or if your mother knows, okay, like, people, there are people who used to get scared when they would wear black underwear and then it would, their discharge would bleach the underwear because they didn't even know anything about, oh, discharge, oh, this is normal, that is normal and stuff. You know, so it's just really sad how sex is still a big topic. Like, even with this podcast as well, there are many people who are like, oh, no, I can never come on, no, because, no, my mother, my pastor, my employer, you know, I don't want to be judged, da, 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 da. But you want to say everything in my messages, but it's like, oh, you're so bold, you're so brave. I'm like, you know, it's, I understand why people call me brave, but for me, I'm like, okay, at this point, yeah, somebody has to, because these are important and necessary.
And thank you for having those conversations.
thank you. I mean, I try my best, you know. Since I'm here to die on the cross, I'll die for y'all. But it's okay. I'm gonna save you guys' asses. Like, it's like, it's not a big deal. And you know, hopefully this is something who, you know, these conversations get normalized where it becomes mainstream to talk about sex. Like, okay. And the thing is, we are always even talking about it in some way, but it's also talking about it in healthy ways.
Yes.
Because now you see, I mean, all these bros that carry mics and everything, and everyone is just vomiting the same old archaic ideals and attitudes and the slut shaming.
Because, like,
the impressionable ones are picking.
Yes. Because you're like, how do you think this way? Like, is this a thing you only say? Like, when the mic is in front of you. Yes.
But you know, you find a lot of men actually think like that. It's like, they still think that women and women's sexuality should not be under our own control. It's like, a man will fully come on and say, oh, yes, I fucked 10 babes last night. If a babe should say something, ew, who wants to be with someone who 10...
Yes.
Like, and you're saying it, and as you're thinking, is your mind not telling you, I am insane, like, I'm daft, like, I am stupid, because I think like this? Is like, you don't even think, where am I, where is this judgment coming from? And sometimes, some even have sense, but also, because we're also, like, you know, like you said, herd mentality, when the alpha male says, oh, well, your babe is a hoe, because can you call, you that you thought, I don't care. You now find people folding and changing their attitudes and stuff, because not a lot of people have that spine to be like, okay, let me think for myself. This doesn't, I don't give a fuck. You know, it's like,
because your group standing, because we're always very concerned about, like, the group standing. Where do I stand in the group? Where do I fall on the scale? Mm-hmm. So if somebody says, oh, this behavior, like, in some ways it's good, but also most of the time, especially like with things like this, it's like, oh, I have to conform.
Mm-hmm.
I have to act right. Oh, yes, I agree with you. Yeah, a girl who slept with two men. Mm-hmm. Oh, every lock cannot enter the key. I mean, what's that
thing? But a master key can open every lock. Okay, Nicole, like, shut the fuck up. You sound stupid. You sound dumb. You know, and I guess it's just sad. But, like, obviously, we like validation. We like, you know, people are more at peace when they conform, you know. And I think, aside, you know, from the conformity angle, people also don't know how to handle uncomfortable feelings and truths. It's like questioning, I've always believed this thing. Then you think, okay, maybe it doesn't make sense. Then it's like, oh, I have to do the work, because if I accept that this is wrong, then I've done a lot of things in the past. I've treated a lot of people a certain way. I have to rethink my values. What do I believe in? And then the biggest thing as well is it clashes with what they think is their religion, what they think is Islam, what they think is Christianity, what they think, oh, the pastor said, I'm a Christian, so sex is demonic or whatever. But if I say this, then, you know, so I guess it is a lot. And I see why you find that a lot of queer people as well, they end up like shying away from religion, or they say, you know what, I'm religious, or I'm apatheist, or I'm
I grew up in a very religious home. Mm-hmm. As in, like, my parents are pastors, that kind of religious home.
Yeah.
But I've had, like, multiple questions for religion that nobody has been able to answer for me. I've not been able to answer for myself as well. So it's like, okay, I'm just going to step away from this. Because if I believe that, like, in the things that the religion says, then one plus one is not adding up.
Yeah. No, honestly, if you are any, if you're liberated or open-minded in any way, or you're a feminist and you believe in religion, there's it's going to be a lot of clashing.
Yes, there is going to be a disconnect. Yes, I know there are people who can reconcile it to themselves, but there always will be that disconnect.
There will be some form of, it's like cognitive dissonance. You have, but the thing is, most people do pick and choose religion, and that's what always happens anyway. It's like, I didn't say this one, I didn't say this one, I didn't say this one. I'm just going to pick, you know, these key concepts and say, like, I'm still always going to say I'm a Muslim. Like, I'm not going to say I'm not, I've thrown that, you know, tag away and stuff. And it's not left to anybody to tell me what's a good Muslim or what's a right Muslim or what's a everything in this life. Everybody's like, you know, you can be doing 5 prayers a day, this, but you're judgmental, you're hateful, you're this, or you're doing all that, you're stealing, you're a criminal, your father is a thief. So it's like, you know, there's sometimes when you feel like you don't deserve to call yourself whatever that is because you are not acting a certain way. And for a lot of people even tell me, like, oh, I don't see how with the way you think, you even still believe in God and stuff. And I'm like, me, I believe in the spiritual realm as well. Like, I believe that there is an extra, you know, there are many things we can't explain. Yes, you can say one day science will explain it, but I just know that in every way, even if you don't choose, you know, the regular religion and stuff. And mind you, religion still has a lot of main character syndrome because there are thousands of religions in the world. But this whole is Christianity, Islam, and, you know, I feel like, well, those are like the top two in this side, but you have, like, obviously, like, the Asians and Indians who are, like, have theirs and stuff. But everyone basically still, there's still a central messaging, even if it's people who believe in Buddhism or Eastern, whatever, where there's a connection and a source and an energy of some sort. And life is really like an energy game. And there's always some higher power. There's a tether. And how you choose to handle that connection is really up to you. But my own is, once you start oppressing somebody, that's where things go left for me. And I think that people just are too afraid to learn how to. In this life, I think everything is about taking what you need and leaving the rest. You can't swallow everything. You have to contextualize everything. But not a lot of people get to think for themselves, you know?
Well, again, so I think that it's hard. Because if you start to, especially somewhere like Nigeria, where religion is really tied into
everything.
So if you honestly start to question,
like, you can go to an office, they are saying, let's do morning devotion before. Right.
Yes.
We came here to count dollars. Which one is morning devotion? Like,
if you start to question it,
it can send you down a rabbit hole.
Because, okay, now you're questioning religion. That means you're probably going to lose your community.
Mm.
You're going to lose your family.
Mm.
If you try to get a job and they say, oh, what religion do you practice? Again, I say I'm non-religious, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when people say, what religion are you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not really into religion. It starts like a whole conversation.
Yeah.
If you hold some things as necessary, maybe having a job, having your family, your community. If you start to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're going to lose that community. A lot of people just walk back.
Yeah. Or some people just do the masking. I feel like a lot of people do a lot of masking. Yes. Where I present in this way. Oh, I'm okay. Yes. In name or just amen. Then go home and continue doing your atheism and stuff. For the
most
sake
people
of peace,
in Nigeria, to be
fair.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Because I said, like, if everybody that claimed to be religious in Nigeria was actually religious, Nigeria would not be like this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nigeria is not a country of God-fearing
people.
Yeah,
honestly, like, Lagos and Abuja, I feel like, especially Lagos, is quite a free society. And I find that a lot of barking that people bark is really internet fingers.
Yes.
You know, people don't, and that's why even with what I do, when people say, oh, what's of your safety, what's of your this, I'm just like, I don't understand. So look, leave all, with all the dollar rates and all the poverty and all the, they'll just say, no, let me go and shoot house at chocolate because she's telling people, live your best life. Like, it's never actually that deep. And you find, you know, there's someone who handle. She has Facebook page. They have almost like a million, you know, followers, and they do similar conversations about sex, about love, you know, STDs, all sorts of things. Sometimes they introduce some queer stuff because they also have some international affiliates as well. Then they have those conversations. You people, God forbid, you're promoting this. Those people run to their DMs. I've been feeling this way when I come around. Like, what do you advise I do? And it's so funny that some people feel the need to still perform, you know. And I think that it's almost in that, like, assessing how they show up in their community and the society and stuff. Because, I mean, I think someone told me recently that there was this pastor, he's not in Nigeria, in a different country, where he's been pastor of a church, he's been preaching. Then somebody outed him as a cross-dresser and he committed suicide. And it's just like, that's so crazy. Like, because, you know, you're coming here, leading thousands of people, telling them this is bad. This is like, if not that he's been preaching against what he is and he didn't feel comfortable. I'm just like, why is that so deep for you to kill yourself over jiggets? But he couldn't even begin to fathom facing the shame. For me, it felt like almost I go explain entire type thing. So, you know what? I'm a head out. And it's like, that's so sad that you had to choose the option of exiting the earth.
Yeah.
But that's what I say about how being so religious, if you want to do anything that is alternative to what it seems the teachings are, because I feel like a lot of these teachings are people pulling out things and some things are pop and playing there. You're just like, you know, this one, they said, if your wife does this, you should beat her with skinny corn. How do you want to contextualize? So some things are just, but I think that, you know, I just don't think that those books are things that anyone should take and chew, swallow, verbatim.
Wholeheartedly,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
So yeah, any last words of encouragement for people who are navigating their sexuality journey, especially, how did your family receive you, by the way?
Okay, so
do they know, first of all?
My parents are not going to listen to this podcast.
our reels, they fly on TikTok, so you know.
I'm not out to my parents, but like my siblings, just like duh. So because again, it's never been like, it's the label that's different.
Yeah.
The me is not different.
Yeah.
But my friends, good, family, fine. But also I'm very committed to being the black sheep of my family. Mm. So
we all need is not the black sheep. We're the ones that need to go and scatter everywhere that
somebody has
everybody
to do
else
it.
Will run out after us. Yeah. What would you say is something you ideally, in an ideal world, what would you need or want from your community?
In an ideal world,
yeah.
Let's see. Can I say money?
I mean, needed. We need the bills.
But in an ideal world, I don't know, just openness and just being able to create a safe space.
Yeah.
Normalization.
Mm-hmm.
Because stories of, like, queer people are doing evil stuff, quote-unquote. But, like, straight people are, like, it's not tied to
your genitals. Like, sometimes I always tell people, break it down to what it is. Like, just remove your attitudes, okay? Because two people are rubbing each other's vaginas.
Also, it's not anybody's business.
Exactly. Like, it's like, what? Like, why is that such a big deal for you or for anyone?
There's enough there's enough to go around for everybody. So, like, Yoruba people say, shock by, like, face your own, like, your own markets.
Yeah. Like, it's so funny when, you know, you see a TikTok or you see a video and someone saying, oh, you put this, our moral society, you are spoiling the children. Like, first of all, why are you so concerned with what your child is doing with his own genitals if you're not a weirdo or a creep? You know, it's like,
people also, children have and will continue to explore. Openness and normalization is just going to help for them to understand what's going on and who they are and how they fit into.
And allowing them or reducing harm. And that's one thing about information. Even when people talk about sex education, you find that when teens have complete sex education, a lot of them also still choose abstinence. But people think that, oh, when you're teaching them sex, you're teaching them bad things. They didn't know that. It's a lie. They know. And if you don't teach them the right way, if you don't teach them the safe way, what's going to happen? They will
get incorrect
information. Exactly. They will encounter harm. They will experiment. They won't be able to come to you as their primary caregiver. They will be afraid.
Yes.
You know? They put themselves in unsafe position. But you educate. That's the whole idea of information. It's like, you have this information. You know the downsides. You know where to access help. It's left to you. Like, if I've trained you right as my child. And sometimes people make mistakes. Like, and they'll figure it out along the way, with or without, if you like. And people, no matter how you, if you like, tie your child, except you only tie them to your use chain and tie them all around. People are going to do what they're going to do. They'll just
proof of that, I was a tied around child.
So. Yeah, and they'll still, like, that's the thing about life, especially when it comes to sex and sexuality. Yes. I feel like that's one thing that you can never, ever, ever suppress in this life. You can try.
Yes.
A lot of people can present to you in a way where you think, oh, this one is doing that. You don't know what someone, you can never know all that someone has done or will do with their bodies. They will just do it in the shadows. And at the end of the day, so much of it is really not your business. It's just not your place to judge. It's just not your place to, you know.
I agree.
I agree. So yeah, that is it for us. Thank you so much for coming on. Last question, actually. What are you looking forward to next on your journey into your sexuality?
What am I looking for? Looking forward to building more of a community.
Mm-hmm. What part of Canada are you in case Toronto. They watch this? Okay. All right.
Okay. So I'm in Toronto. Building more of a community, making more friends, having more of those conversations. Creating a hug circle.
Important. And that's one thing that I think this year for me has also been big, where it's like, you know, sometimes you need to break out of the pack to assert your own, you know, your autonomy, your individuality, all of that stuff. Be your own person, but you can't do it alone.
No.
Your community is also important. It's just that your community might not look like what you started with. You have to cultivate and build those safe spaces. Okay, this is my core. This is for this. But that's how we heal. There's so much healing in community. We don't have to do everything alone. That whole self-care. Like, self-care, community care is self-care, you know, and it's extremely important. So I hope that you get that. And, you know, this episode is out, if y'all in Canada, you have your nice little safe spaces, you know, hit her up. Where can we find you on social media if you're open to sharing, or what can we find you in general?
So my social media is private.
Oh, fair.
Because people, again, do be crazy. But you can find me on Twitter at Justolowo, JustOlowo.
Okay.
Send me a message.
All right, cool. So you find her on Twitter at JustOlowo. Why is it JustOlowo?
Oh, long story, but my surname sounds like a shortened version. So everybody's always like, but isn't this the full surname? And you're like, nope.
Fair enough. JustOlowo is instructional. Okay, I get it. All right, guys, that's all for today. Find me on Instagram at House of Chocolates. Follow the podcast at Spit or Swallow Pod on Instagram. Spit or Swallow Podcast on YouTube. SOS Pod Official on TikTok. And I feel like I'm missing one, but you just go to my Instagram and you find the rest. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, you know, comment. And yeah, see ya same time next week, next year, next month. Bye.